Amen. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for who you are and who we are in you. Lord, help us to hear you precisely. Help us, Lord, through your spirit, that the knowledge that you have for us will be purely passed to us without any kind of inhibition, that we will receive your word and receive your truth into our hearts the way that you gave it to us and the way that you give it to us. In Jesus' name, amen. But we're still in the book of Romans, and made it to Romans 12. And you know, Romans starts out talking about salvation. And in chapter 1, it's talking about really the unsaved, and talking about those that, even if they had known God, that they pretty much changed the glory of the true God into an image of wild beasts and different little things that they might have made with their hands. And so we started out talking about the salvation part, and we've made it through chapter 11, basically, and it talks of that. And then Romans there in 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 talks about how the Christian practices his life. And we made it through all of that, too, the practicing life of a Christian. And so whether you know it or not, and I don't know how important it is to be able to take and separate all these things out and say, this is for that and this is for this. Just whatever hits you, that's what you go by. You're never going to understand everything at the same time. But Jesus Christ, by his Spirit, is our teacher. And whatever he opens up to you at the moment, that's what you go with. Amen? And if you want to get a little deeper than that, then go and study theology or something, and you can learn how to put it in proper order, as they say. Romans 12 talks about church issues, the church problems, and that's 12 through 15. So without any further ado, let us go ahead and start in Romans chapter 12. This is the Apostle Paul wrote this letter. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. The mercies of God. The mercy of God not giving you what you deserve. Do you want what you deserve? No. I could tell you now, I do not want what I was thinking this morning, Jacksonville, how I left a legacy there, and it's not a legacy that I'm too crazy about. I wasn't a gangster or anything like that, but I had my little part that I played in helping the devil's kingdom along. And I do not want. I do not want what I deserve for that. But I thank God for his mercy. Amen. Thank God for his mercy. And he says, I'm begging you. Beseech is a very strong word. It's the strongest word in the language. It's begging you. I'm begging you now. Please, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you do something here. He says to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Then he says, this is your reasonable service. Now hold on, that's your divine service. That's a godly service, believe it or not. To present your bodies unto God as a living sacrifice. Jesus presented his body as a living sacrifice, but he only had to sacrifice once. But it's a little different for us. The Bible says that we should take up our cross daily and follow him. You know, the Bible calls us witnesses. You know what that word witnesses really has as a root word? Martyrs. The word witness is the root word there is martyrs. Oh, that's a negative word, isn't it? Except y'all, are y'all here? Okay, all right, I'm y'all. And nobody has blinked or anything. Yeah, that's witness. And he said, you will be witnesses unto me. You will be martyrs unto me. Now listen, all y'all thinking about, oh, Lord, I'm going to go out here and get myself killed or get die out there on the streets. Well, you know, as I've said before, it is not difficult to die a physical death. All you got to do is make a bad choice or make the wrong choice or run up to the wrong person. There's a lot of them out there you can run up against. And they will gladly oblige you, and they'll do 10 years for you. See, it doesn't take anything to die a physical death, but dying to self? Now, we're talking about some dying here. We're talking about some real dying. And to do that, you have to present your bodies to God. He didn't say as a dying sacrifice, as a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable to Him. The Bible says that's reasonable. That's divine. That's what God wants. Present it to Him. You say, well, I sure didn't present it yesterday. Well, present it today. Confess. Let Him cleanse you according to John 1:8-9. Let Him cleanse you. There's nothing stopping you from confessing where you missed or where you blew it. Nothing at all. The only one stopping you is you. Not even the devil can stop you from confessing your sin. God does not give him that prerogative. Amen. I found all that in verse 1. And then it says to be not conformed to this world. Don't be conformed. Don't be patterned after this world. That's another challenge. But be transformed. And the word for that is the same word used when Jesus was transformed on the Mount of Transfiguration. It's metamorphosis. Metamorphosis comes from that. We know how that works. We have a little squiggly, nasty worm in a what they call a cocoon. And you just want to take and throw that worm somewhere out of the way. It's the ugliest looking thing. But as it metamorphosizes itself, it turns into a beautiful butterfly. And it's a metamorphosis. And it's saying that we should be transformed. We should be metamorphosed. Be transformed. And my sister was saying earlier, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect or complete will of God. To prove means to know. Acceptable means well-pleasing. Perfect is complete. Will of God. To be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's one way you can really know that you are certainly renewing your mind, and it's in accordance with the Word of God. And as we've heard earlier, I can promise you your mind is going to want to take over and think some of the craziest things that you... It will think of things you didn't ever think to think about. It'll bring up ideas in your mind, and you go, what in the world was that? And you say, I'm so dirty. I'm so evil. I'm so nasty. You know, that's your mind playing tricks on you. You don't change just because of the way you think. But the Bible says you should be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, these things come up and you start feeling bad and low. You say, wait a minute. According to God's word, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And folks say, well, the show don't look like. I don't care how it looks. I am, according to God's word, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But it's in Christ Jesus. Amen. Whatsoever things are pure, honest, lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, the Bible says, think on these things. Think on these things. And so what's good? What's virtuous? What's righteous? What's lovely? Well, you say, well, I could think about the flower. I could think about the trees. I could think about the grass. I could think about the wildlife. Why don't you think about Jesus? Because he's all of those things. In what way is Jesus pure? So you think about that. In what way is he lovely? In what way is he righteous? In what way is there good report? In what way is there virtue? And you put that, you start putting that in your mind, and I can tell you, your mind will be renewed. And this little thing that calls itself trying to come in and sway your thinking, you gotta be careful with that. Our mind, part of our soul. As goes the soul of man, so goes the man or the woman. And as I wrote one morning, our souls are the control center of us. And listen, God wants our souls. Guess who else wants our souls? The devil wants our souls. Guess who else wants our souls? You want your souls. You want your way. You don't need your way. You don't know what you're doing. I don't know what I'm doing. Guess who else wants your soul? Men want your soul. Men want your soul. They want to influence you. They want to change the way you think. They want to frame your mind so that you'll go in the direction that they think you should go. No one knows the direction you should go but God and you. So when someone else starts coming in and manipulating you and twisting you around and saying all of these things and sometimes high-flowing words and especially compliments, watch the compliments. You should step back and say, now what do they want? Because I'm not that beautiful. Go look in the mirror. Say, I don't see everything they saw. Why are they doing this? What's up? There's something behind it. Wait a minute. Okay, all right. I got all that out of verse 2. But he goes on and says, for I say, through the grace given to me. And I've heard grace defined as favor that is unmerited. Favor that we don't deserve. His mercy is not giving us what we deserve. And his grace is giving us what we don't deserve. I said earlier, back in my little hometown, I did not deserve the grace of God. You know what I deserve? Well, I'm not going to say it. But it was, hallelujah. But I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, oh boy, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. Think with a level-mindedness. That's being sober in your thinking. It's not about talking about drinking alcohol or using drugs or anything like that. It's not talking. That's a different kind of inebriation. This is an inebriation without any kind of chemical intervention, any kind of liquids or smokes or pills or anything like this. This is an intoxication that comes just out of you. You don't take anything for this. Intoxication, and listen, you can be intoxicated and never take a drop of liquor or take a pill or smoke a joint or anything. You could still be walking around here just as drunk and crazy as you can be. Are y'all there? You're going home. It's a different kind of intoxication. They won't necessarily lock you up for DUI, but they're going to wonder what's going on with you. Have you lost your mind? So it says to think soberly, according to God, what God has dealt to every man, the measure of faith. It's a measure of faith. He doesn't give you my faith. He doesn't give you the measure. We get the same kind of faith, but he doesn't measure your faith by my faith. And I do hope to God you won't measure your faith by mine, because you might fall short. Amen. Y'all keep looking up here. Oh boy, he's this and y'all don't do that. You might sell yourself short. He's got a measure of faith for each individual. And when you go looking at someone else and saying, well, I'm sure not him, I'm not like him, then you should throw your hand up and say, praise God, I'm not. Y'all don't know me. Y'all don't, wife said, amen. Y'all don't follow me when I leave this place. I'm not a mean person or anything like that, but I have my days, you know. See, but you see me up here under the influence of God, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, and I'm telling you that God has given you your own measure of faith, and that we should think within that. When you think above that, then you're not thinking soberly. You're not thinking properly about who you are in Him. Don't think more highly than you ought to think. Don't be trying to do something that you can't do. And don't be trying to do something that you shouldn't be doing. Amen. You don't have to. If it's uncomfortable then it's probably not you. Okay. If it's uncomfortable, all right, I see Josh looking. I do know what that look is. It's like we are challenged. God does stretch us, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about if you try to do what I do and you're not comfortable and you're just kind of out of sorts, it's probably not you. If you try to do what my sister Angie does, it's not going to be comfortable to you. You do what he gives you, whatever that is. It's in his own way and by his own blood that he get up. Did I read you right or was I off? Okay, amen. But we, for as we have many members in one body and all members have not the same office, I got ahead of myself. So we being many are one body in Christ. And if you just look at your own body, you've got many members. Your hand is a hand, and it's a hand. A hand is a hand. A hand is not a foot. Some people walk on their hand, but it's really awkward. And it's just not. Some folks can walk up steps with their hands. I can barely walk on my feet sometimes. But I use my feet for what feet are for, and I use my hands for what hands are for. And you think with your mind, you don't think with your hand. You see? You just do it properly. And there are many members, the Bible says, and there's another place that talks about the members, and that's in 1 Corinthians, I believe 1 Corinthians 12 talks also about the members. There are different ones that's called out. We being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. So that means that we are part of each other. Members one of another. One is a hand, one is a knee, one is a foot, whatever. God has placed everything necessary in our little fellowship for us to comprise the body that's necessary at this time. Having been gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy or inspired preaching, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. And we understand that prophecy was basically an Old Testament act of foretelling. And while in I'll say dispensation, basically prophecy is a foretelling. Yet in the book of Acts, there were a few places, at least one I could think of, where there was some foretelling being done, where there was some prophesying, where he was telling what was to happen and what was to come. But there was a lot of prophecy where there was foretelling, telling the gospel and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I will not close the door on prophecy. I wouldn't close the door on foretelling. But I'll be careful if I get a prophecy from someone. And if someone does give you a foretelling, if they try to foretell something, tell you something that comes to pass, you want to make sure where they got that from. You want to make sure that they're of God, that they belong to God, and that the spirit that they're prophesying with is the Holy Spirit and not some other spirit. Because again, they will tell you things that you want to hear. Some folks can tell you when you almost burnt the house down. They could tell you the color of the shirt you had on. They could tell you what kind of day it was. They could tell you what your mama said to you. But that is not enough. Y'all hear me? It's not enough. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? You need to tell me now. Who is Jesus? And if they say, oh, well, he was a good man. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, he was, but who is he? Well, he was a man that did a lot of mighty things when he lived on the earth. That's not the right answer, see. If they cannot definitively identify Jesus as Lord and God, say, thank you very much. I appreciate you doing that, but that's all we need to talk about today. Are you hearing me? Okay, I'm not closing the door, but I'm saying you need to be sure. Because just as sure as they're telling you what you did when you was 4 years old and describing all your clothes and everything like that, they got a plan down the road for you. And you're going to have to come up with some money or you or something. They're going to use you to their glory. Was that clear enough? That's a warning now. I don't know. Somebody's going to run across something somewhere here where folks want to prophesy, I want to foretell. Praise God, I'm getting some. The Lord is showing me. Oh, wait. Wait a minute. You better watch me. You better watch me. Hallelujah. It says to prophesy according to the proportion of faith. That is, don't go beyond what he's given you. Or ministry. Ministering has to do with serving. Elisha was a servant of Elijah. Joshua was a servant of Moses. They ministered. Joshua ministered to Moses. What is that? He brought him water. He brought him food. He brought him water for his feet. He helped him. He carried his books or whatever he needed done. He ministered to him. And so it says to watch these things. Ministry, let's wait on our ministry. Teaching, wait on your teaching. Or exhortation, that is to earnestly encourage. Are you an encourager? Learn to be an encourager. Or encourage in exhortation, on wait on exhortation. He that gives or imparts, do it with simplicity. That is, secretly. Don't be sounding a horn when you give. Just do it. The Bible says that he that does things secretly, God will reward him openly. Folks will know it because they'll be able to see it, not because you said it. Folks will know it because they'll be able to see it, not because you said it. If you do it in secret, God will reward you openly. I've had one preacher used to say, now that right there, that's happening to that man right there, that's not just something you just walk up and get. And so that's something God gave to that man. I didn't say nothing to him. I was just doing what I do. See? And so learn to give with simplicity. People don't need to know what you do. I tell you what, you let your mama know too much about what you're giving, she's going to start talking you out of that. Mine did. She used to tell me, now God give everybody good sense. He gave it to you. He already blessed you. What do you mean you want to be blessed? And we went back and forth with that thing. And she meant well, because I was her baby. She didn't want me to hurt and be without. But I hadn't hurt, and I haven't missed a meal that I did not want to miss. And the bills are paid. Sometimes it's a little bit close to the edge there, but they are paid. Amen. God takes care of his own. He takes care of you. He does. He has promised to take care of your need, for sure. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. That, my friend, is a promise. Seek him first, his kingdom, his righteousness. Give with simplicity. He that rule with diligence. Don't be wishy-washy. No. He that shows mercy with cheerfulness. That's, be hilarious about it. If you're showing mercy, don't go in with your head hung down and down in the mouth and someone needs mercy and you just dragging. Go in and say, hallelujah. God's going to take care of it. Watch this. Oh, man. Listen, look what God is going to do for you. Look what God is doing. Be cheerful. Try to lift them up and help them. Do it cheerfully, with love, without dissimulation. That means hypocrisy. Don't be a hypocrite. Be what you are on the inside. Don't try to be something that you're not. Amen. Without hypocrisy. Abhor or hate that which is evil. That's to hate sin. That which is evil. And the sin you hate, of course, is whose? Yes. Hate your sin. Well, leave mine alone. I got mine to deal with. Hate your sin. That's it. If you know what, you have got enough to keep your hands full. You know that, right? Hello? Amen. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave or hold on to that which is good. Then it says to be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. That is, putting others ahead of yourself. We could use a lot of work with that. putting others ahead of yourself. We're still not quite there yet. We're still kind of worried about us. How I can get it straight for me. But it says that we should have brotherly love and that we should look for the good of the other. Don't be slothful in business. Don't be lazy in business. But to be fervent, that is boiling hot in the spirit. Hot within reason. You don't want to be crazy with it, you know, go over the edge with it. But fervent, fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. It says rejoicing in hope. That's the hope of the coming of the Lord. I'm hopeful and I'm rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. And I could use a whole lot more of that. Anybody else can use a little bit more patience in tribulation? I can. I got to learn how to not grumble so much. I still make it. I make it. But my mouth sometimes, every time I turn around, then I come back and go do it again. So you're going to do it again anyway. Shut up and just pray to the Lord. And well, maybe that was prayer, but I was, anyway, patient. Patient. Hey, I don't know. It's ringing my bell. I don't know about you. And it says the continuing instant in prayer. You know what that is? Be ready to pray. Be ready to pray. Instant. Ready to pray. Something come up. Rather than reach for your knife. Say, what, Lord? How's this supposed to go? Is this something you're doing here? Should I stay or should I go? How should I handle it? What should I say? Instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity or the needs of saints. That is, you help others that are in need. But listen, it's specific. It says the saints. That's us. That's you. That's me. Distributing to the necessity of the saints. You know someone is hungry? Get them some food. Don't say, oh, that's okay. The government will take care of you. The government is not going to take care of nobody. You keep watching the government. We got some surprises coming our way with our government. Help each other. If you know about it, and listen here. Listen, the Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. But not only do we have a problem giving, we have a problem receiving also. We do. When someone gives it to me, I'm sometimes just perplexed. I'm like, someone give me $20. Thank you. I don't know what to do with it. What do you do with $20? Huh? Yeah. You use it. It's there to help. Amen. It's there to help. I understand. But if it's a saint, if I give you $20, which it won't happen today, but if I did, don't be suspicious. There's no ulterior motive except the Lord told me to do it. Okay? And you. How much is that? $110. That's not a promise. I'm not prophesying. Yeah, don't come in without $140. But to distribute. And you do it secretly. You don't blast. You don't. People don't need to know about a person. You know, if God brings it to your knowledge, then good. Uh-oh, here we go. Hope y'all ready for this. Bless them that persecute you. Bless and curse not. Oh boy. Bless them that persecute you. Just let me breathe for a minute. Okay. Bless them that persecute you. Bless and curse not. Y'all taking a deep breath with me? Y'all got this down already? What do you say? Yeah, it's got to be a detail. That would be a good start. Yeah, absolutely. just bless them. Now, you know, we need to look up the word bless, because that's to be good, to be benevolent towards, to be accepting towards, and to just go in and wave and say something nice so we know they cuss you out to your face. And say, well, God bless you. And you go ahead on. And I pray the Lord is with you. And you go ahead on. That's not easy, is it? Thank you, Bill. The rest of y'all, Bill answers for everybody else. It is a challenge now. That's why we've been told to do it, because we need to be taught to be this way. We need to be taught to do that. It's not easy. But anyway, I'll leave that to you. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that do weep. That's empathy. That's having empathy for others. Be ye of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend. Lower yourself to men of low estate. And don't be wise in your own conceit. Don't be conceited, in other words. Think the same about everyone in the body. Think the same. You don't have the hires. One is higher than the other. That's respect to person. God does not respect people. You're going to be surprised that some of the folks that we lifted up that we thought was truly the godly high ones, you might not even see them in heaven, because they fulfilled all of the earthly mandates of acceptability. It says, keep yourself on a level here. Don't think high-minded. Don't think you're more than you are. Don't think you're better than you are. You stay at a level. Don't be wise. In other words, don't fool yourself. Don't trick yourself. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. That's not a challenge today. Don't pay evil back for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. It says now, it gives us a little help here. We want to live peaceably with all men, but not all men will live peaceably with us. If it's possible, we can live more peaceably with more people that will live peaceably, and there's always going to be some wacko somewhere that's going to have a vendetta against you. So it says to do as far as possible to live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, after he's told us all this, avenge not yourselves. Don't get revenge, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Vengeance. Do you know that you can't handle vengeance? Vengeance is not something that we can handle. We can take vengeance, but we can't handle it. It's hard to get it off you, you know? It's kind of yucky, sticky something that's there, just, I don't know. But vengeance, he said, is mine. Vengeance belongs to God. He said, you let me take vengeance. Don't you handle vengeance. Vengeance is not something for you to handle. Okay, so, I mean, if we do it, you're getting in God's way. In other words, get back out of his way. Let him handle it. Do you know that if you pray for your enemies rather than curse your enemies, that God is going to move on your behalf? I've seen it time and time and time and time again. Time again. Of course, many of those times I've had to go close my door and cry because my feelings have been so hurt, my heart has been so broken by something they've done or something they've said. But rather than, you know, come against them, I've managed to pray for them. And many of these people, God has just moved right on down the road. Right on down the way. Some people have died, actually. I can't take credit for that. I'm just saying they were a problem for me. And some people have died. And I don't know if that was God doing that, but they weren't there. They weren't there doing their dirty to me. And some he's taken, and one lady he took and he promoted her to a higher position, to the position she wanted. It wasn't high, it was different. And so, he takes care of us if we do it his way. if you pray for your enemies, then you are out of his way, so that he can perform his will for your life and for the life of that person. Avenge not yourself. Give place to wrath. It is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay. That's what he said, saith the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Y'all know what that means? In so doing, thou shalt reap coals of fire. And in Egypt, there was a thing they would do when a person was really repentant of something that they've done. They would take hot coals and put it in a pan and walk around town with the hot coals on their head, symbolizing the hot sin that they had committed. And so they would walk around town and they would be repenting, and it refers to that. And so, in other words, if you treat this person in this way, they will find themselves ashamed. They'll find themselves ashamed that they treated you or acted adversely towards you. I'll read it again. Avenge not yourselves, but give place unto wrath. That's difficult for us. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, you know, the one that said, I hate you, I can't stand you. You make me sick. They see you and say, you mean you're still alive? Give them a sandwich. If you're in the store somewhere buying something, you see them there and you say, you want something? Well, you just, you know, feed them. You want something? And burgers and Coke, fries. Can y'all do that? Oh, Lord. In so doing, you'll keep coals of fire. Then lastly, it says, to be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That's how we handle these issues. We've got a lot to chew on this week in Romans 12. And if I were you, I'd go back and read it again and kind of meditate on some of these issues. Because just as sure as we just got on Romans 12 this week, just as sure in the coming week, you're going to be faced with some of the things here. God's timing is absolutely perfect timing. So get ready, y'all. This coming week and the weeks to come, study up. This is like study up for next week and the weeks to come in Romans 12. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your word today and for helping us and hopefully to comprehend and understand what it is you're giving us. Oh, Father, help us to internalize these matters. And sure, we're challenged by these things, but you mean to challenge us. But the thing and the good news is that we have you living on the inside to empower us to walk in these areas. And so we depend on you and we trust you to do it, because indeed we cannot do it on our own. There's not sufficient strength or ability in us to do it. So we have to allow the Christ who lives in us to live his life through us. So do that, Lord. Help us to give way to you so that you can live your life in us. In Jesus' name, amen.